Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Layla, and we are so excited to have you here with us. But before we jump into the Word today, we're going to take a moment and pray. Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you for everything that you provided for us, Lord, the divine provision you've put into each and every one of our lives, Lord. We thank you for the protection that you've given us through your word, Lord, your wisdom, and we thank you for everything that you have put into our hands, Lord, the tools that you equipped us with, the armor that you've given us, Lord, so that we're able to stand and do the work that you asked us to do, Lord. We thank you for focusing our efforts and our attention on you, Lord, that you are guiding our steps, Lord, that you are ordering our days today and forever, Lord. And we thank you for who you are in our lives, Lord, that you are our Lord and Savior, and that you are willing to be a father to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. We're glad to have you with us this morning as we continue to dive into the Word, to grow, building up our faith so that we can stand for the Lord. We are in 2 Thessalonians, continuing in chapter 3, and we are going to cover verses 13 through 18. So could I get a volunteer to read that section of scripture, please?
I will.
All right, promise.
But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. For if anyone does not obey our word and this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul, with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. All right. As is our custom, the floor is open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you and to ask any questions that you have. So who'd like to begin?
I would.
All right, Layla.
Finally, we have arrived at the moment I've been waiting for.
Okay.
Okay.
So what the Lord was showing me about the admonishment of your brother, that's something, another lesson that I've had to learn from the Lord on how to deal with a brother in error. I thought you beat them back to Jesus. You know, if you lay enough stripes on their back, they're going to get the point that it hurts. They don't want to do it. And then they're just not going to do it anymore. And come to find out, that's not exactly what the Lord said. And that's not what he meant either.
You say not exactly?
Not exactly.
That's not what the Lord said.
I right. say not exactly because there is some correction included in love, but beating is the key word that falls under abuse. The abuser of the brethren, okay? We're not supposed to be that. But Paul told them not to keep company with them, and it wasn't, again, not pushing them away from the Lord, and it was so that they could come to their senses and go, okay, and come to a place of self-examination and see what was in them and to seek the Lord. So I'm talking about the erring brother, to seek the Lord and find out where they missed it and spend some quality, quiet time with the Father, working on those areas and developing strength in them so that the adversary could no longer exploit them and use them against that individual or anybody around them. That's what that time was meant for, not so that you, and again, engage in unloving behavior and drive them from the Lord. That's not our task. That's not what we're here for. We are driving them to the Lord and away from the devil, not away from the Lord and to the devil. That means we are on the wrong side of the fence, and I would encourage you to get back on the right one. The father corrects his children, and that's something mommy and daddy tell me all the time. These are my children, not yours. I will correct my children, not you. When you have your own kids, then okay, you will correct your children. But right now, I'm your mama, and I'm his mama or her mama, depending on which sibling or siblings are being addressed here in the moment. Oh. And dad says the same thing. I'm their father, not you, for obvious reasons. One, I'm a girl, and then, of course, We're all equal. We're on the same level. We're peers.
Well, so I was going to say, what else do we also say, which is you just brought up? Each of you are peers. You are all at the same level. You, our children, are all equals, regardless of what age gaps or differences there are.
Yes, Dan.
Okay. Well, so please continue.
So the father, because we're all of us are his children, he knows how to deal with his children. He doesn't, and I quote, and I do who, as one of our dear friends says, the Lord was saying, I don't need you to correct anybody else. You can hardly correct yourself. I was like, hey, that was kind of, that hurt, Lord, but I needed to hear that because I thought I was queen of the world. I could do it just like Jesus could, but I wasn't quick to discipline myself. Mm-hmm. I had the hulking redwood forest coming out of one eye, and I was trying to remove the little piece of sawdust out of someone else's. So mm-hmm. that also ties to them. You work on what you need to work with the Lord. He can deal with his children because he's everywhere at once. He's got eyes that see everything. Everything is laid open and bare to the eyes of him to whom we have to give account. So as far as we're concerned, we're doing what God asked us to do. We're leading our households well. We're leading ourselves well. The one who, you know, you got to get yourself together first before you can get anyone else together. And Paul addresses that in 1 Corinthians, I think, or maybe it was 2nd. Being ready to punish all disobedience when your own obedience is fulfilled. When you've done everything that you're supposed to do, then you can go help others. And that's something Mommy and Dad tell me often, too. Oh, take math for an example. Mommy would tell me, no, you learn the math for you first because you're the one who needs it now. And then after you've mastered that math concept or concepts, then you can help someone else. There is no point in teaching someone how to sin. There is no point in teaching someone the wrong way to do the math equation. We want to teach them right the first time because the Father himself teaches us right the first time. Now, again, there is no variation or shadow of turning in him. He is only good. And at the same time, we should be exhibiting those same characteristics that we're teaching the things of the Lord, regardless of who's watching us, who we think is watching us or not, that we are the same consistently day in and day out. When we're in our private closet, we're the same. I'm the same Layla as I am when I'm out in public or I'm around my family. There should be no discrepancy and no change in my actions, attitudes, or behavior based on the company that I'm keeping. Mm-hmm. And that's sad to say that there are many in the church who don't hold themselves to that standard. There's someone different when they're at work than they are when they're at church and when they are at home with their family. And the Lord didn't make inconsistent creatures. He said, come and let us make man in our image and our likeness. God is consistent. He doesn't change. He's always good and he always will be good. Now we need to make sure that we get in line with that as well. That we are holding ourselves to that standard. Put mm-hmm. a knife to our own throat, as mm-hmm. Proverbs says.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, sometimes we, when we think about identifying a brother or sister who is not walking the way that they should, as you so articulately described, Layla, the tendency is to try to beat them or abuse them in some way. And God doesn't lead us to violate his love commandment. We happily turn into Nehemiah and we want to snatch them by the hair and beat them or try to misinterpret the Jesus driving the money changers out of the temple with the whip and go, see, that's how the Lord did it. So now I'm excused to try to humiliate and to become a slanderer of brothers and sisters when we think they've missed it. And oftentimes don't take any time to ask Holy Spirit, or did they miss it? Or is it just what I think they missed because it doesn't go along with what I think they are supposed to be doing or what I understand about the scriptures or what I, you know, perceive as what they're supposed to say, et cetera, et cetera. And we give ourselves permission to violate the word of God ourselves in an effort to keep somebody else from violating the word. And that just, it doesn't hold water. So as the Lord was ministering through the Apostle Paul, how do you handle this and balance it? Don't get tired of doing good, keep going. and be faithful to that. And if anybody doesn't obey the word of the epistle that the Holy Spirit inspired and sent through the apostle, take note and don't keep company with him or her, that they may be ashamed, that they can notice that and then come to the Father and say, what's going on, Lord? Well, what's happening? And then verse 15 says, yet do not count him as an enemy. Don't start fighting him. Don't start slandering him. Don't start accusing him and making a public spectacle out of him. But admonish him, not everybody else about him, but admonish him as a brother that, again, is gentle and in love, right? To with the purpose and the perspective to reconcile that one to the Father, and always surrounding them with love, because it's the goodness of God that draws men into repentance. It's not pulling their hair and beating them and all that kind of stuff. That's not. And even when we discipline our children, the word does say discipline them with the rod if that's what's needed. Because if you withhold that discipline, and it's really encompassing the discipline on the whole, if you withhold discipline, you hate them. However, your brother is not your child. Make that distinction clear. You are to restrain your children, discipline your children from also from the love of Jesus Christ as your foundation and the source of that discipline, not your personal opinions, feelings, or perspective, but what does God say he wants for that child? Because that child is also your brother in Christ, but you have a different authority perspective concerning your children that you brought into the world or that the Lord has assigned to your care. Did you want to say something real quick?
I did. So as you look at that verse of don't grow weary in doing good, what does doing good mean?
Ultimately, keeping yourself to what the Lord
there
says.
There it is, keeping yourself in obedience to the Lord, right?
In all points.
Exactly. So you can look at a couple different verses, right? Matthew 5:16 says, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. How's the Father glorified?
By obedience.
Us bearing fruit and the fruit.
And how do you bear much fruit?
Doing the work that the Lord said to do.
Oh, okay, so obedience. Wait, isn't that Jesus said these words and he learned what? Obedience through his suffering. His bearing with, being patient. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Right? And then it continues saying, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Right? So the doing good is obedience. And we also know that because in the very next verse, verse 14, if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle. So in all things, how you carry and conduct yourself has to be out of or in obedience to the Lord. In everything. Lord, what do I say? What do you want me to do? Okay, you want me to discipline my child. How? Right? In everything, he will provide the answer. This is my brother or sister in Christ. They're in error. What do you want me to say or do? How do you want me to restore them or go about restoring them?
Yes, Dan.
Does he even want you involved?
Mm-hmm. Does he want you just to intercede for that one?
There it is, right.
And the Lord's got the plan to reconcile his own child back to himself.
Amen. Now for us, we must remain in obedience. If you love me, you will obey my commandments, the Lord says. Isn't that exactly what he's saying here through Paul? If anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, right? This is the breathed out word of the Lord coming through his servant. Well, as we know, that we know as the Apostle Paul. So if people are that claim to be the Lord's, but are choosing to be disobedient to the Lord, refusing to be obedient to the Lord, but desiring to be in opposition, don't associate with that one, he says.
Mm-hmm. And start first with you. Because Amen. If you're looking at everybody else, there's a mirror right in front of your own face. Amen. Make sure you're not being that guy or that gal.
And both a natural mirror, but also this This mirror called the word of God.
The big mirror I'm talking about, the word of God. Make sure you're not that person that's disobeying the word of God, because you're not even fit to examine whether someone else is obeying or not obeying if you're not. And then God also, when he talks about in verse 15, do not count him as an enemy. That means setting how you set your heart concerning them. All of this is a pointing back to what's in our heart. What's your heart? And if your heart is right towards God, you're not looking for who's violating the word. You know, there's people who are the reality police for everybody else, and their daily bread is to wake up and find a quote unquote believer who's not obeying the word so that they can go and throw them out of whatever ministry or participation that they're in. And that is absolutely ungodly. The Lord is not, he's nowhere in that kind of thing, because that does not come from the love of Jesus Christ. So if that's how, if that's where you're positioning yourself, take note of that. And you need to turn that around, and you need to be looking at yourself. Am I obeying all that God says for me to do? Am I honoring the Lord in the fullness of the capacity that I'm, that I should be, and that I'm supposed to be at this time in my life and my walk with Christ? Is he satisfied with me? If you're busy looking at everybody else, you can rest assured your own yard is not the way it's supposed to be. Your own house is not in order. So that he's not giving us permission to police our brother, and he's giving permission for us to police ourselves and keep a heart that honors him and reflects him. Even when the Lord spoke to the Pharisees that they were missing it, it was never to condemn them to hell or Sheol or to separate them from himself. He knew that they would separate themselves, but it was also to get their attention and offer an opportunity for them to be reconciled. He made it very plain that he did not come to destroy the people, whether they were Pharisee or not, whether they were Roman or not, it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Whether they were caught in the literal act of sin and adultery or doing something they shouldn't be doing, he did not come to destroy the people. He came that they would have life and find an opportunity for reconciliation in him. So that's our job as well, to point anyone to Christ. But first of all, make sure we're following, we're making all points as we ought to with the Lord.
At that and same level of obedience and satisfied. That he walked in.
And even more so. And then if the Lord says, hey, I want you to go minister to your brother over there, you're coming with the heart of compassion to go, what do you want me to say, Lord? And, you know, what do you want me to do? And how do you want me to go about things? Because this is your child. You love them. And if you didn't throw me away while I was in the midst of my sin, how dare I try to throw away someone else in the midst of theirs, whether they're heathen or brethren? How dare I? Because I sure want some grace. And I know I honk my horn when I'm in traffic and I start moving my lips, and you didn't cast me away, Jesus. So let me give grace to someone else who honks their horn at me and talks with their lips when I cut them off in traffic and I'm not paying attention or whatever it is. So, you know, what I'm wrapping all that up to say, God does not give us permission to violate his word just because we see someone else violating the word of God, or we think we see them violating the word. Go ahead, Promise.
Well, Mommy, you brought up an interesting point about not trying to catch other people inside their wickedness. And so the Lord was also reminding me of how we should not be trying to earn God's favor or trying to make it where God owes us, as in trying to earn something from God or trying to buy it. And the way the Lord phrased it to me was also going back a couple verses, backtracking to what we were talking about a couple episodes ago about being a busybody and how it's because they're more focused on someone else than their own walk with God. And then coming back to the current section of scripture, that the only way we become weary of doing good is if we're counting how much good we're doing.
Amen.
And the Lord was reminding me of how occasionally I would rant inside the Lord's ear and go, Lord, I did such and such a thing and for such and such a time and got to what I considered to be little accolades for it. And the Lord had to remind me that I'm not trying to please men, but I'm more so trying to be obedient to God. And he reminded me of a servant. How that's what we should be to God, and also a friend. A friend is not trying to buy something from his other friend, as in, they give it freely. Also with brothers, a brother's not going to try to force another friend, force his brother to give him something for his own services. He's willing to do it freely, which should be our heart towards God. We shouldn't be trying to try to manipulate in such a way that it seems as though we're doing all this good work, so God must obey what we tell him to do, or not that he will ever do that, because everyone falls short of the glory of God, and that specifically will make sure you fall short of the glory of God. Because if you go with that perspective, you're instantly not going with the love of God, which Paul is ultimately telling the people to have here. Love and have compassion on those around you. Not trying to condemn or beat them into submission so you can try to get God to pay you. Because after all, God has already paid us enough. As in, he has already given us enough. And that he has given us the ability and the opportunity to receive from him. And our reward should be seeing and hearing God saying, I'm well pleased with you.
Amen.
Amen. All right, there's a lot in there. So we are going to pause there for today and just allow you to have time with the Holy Spirit to minister to you, to search through Scripture and, you know, check things out for yourself so the word can be written on the tablet of your heart so you can be strengthened and stand on your faith in the Lord to wage the warfare, to fight the battle or the battles that are the Lord's, that he's called you to fight in the destiny track, plan, purpose, will, and covenant for your life. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, with that, can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, Layla.
Lord, we thank you for today, Lord, and we thank you for being our Father, Lord, and for us being your children. We thank you that you know how to speak to us, Lord, that you know how to correct us when necessary, Lord, to direct us, Lord, and we just thank you that you love us. And Lord, we ask that you will forgive us for being presumptuous in any way, shape, or form, Lord, or putting a stumbling block in front of our brothers and sisters or a little one that is precious in your sight, Lord. And we forgive anyone who we have ought against, Lord, whether it is presumed wrong or it's an actual literal wrong, Lord. We thank you for forgiving us, Lord, and we ask that you forgive them, Lord, and we thank you for their opportunity to come to you, Lord. Minister to their hearts, Lord, and to their minds, Lord. Draw them unto yourself as you already said that you would do, Lord, and we thank you for the opportunity to be a part of that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Oh, we love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop. Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.